What's going on, everyone? And welcome back to the D-Lord NBA podcast presented by CLNS Media, the leading online provider of audio and video content. I am your host, Devin Lloyd, and today, Thursday, October 4th, we had a set of five games last night that we're definitely going to go over. Alonzo Trier, if you're a Knicks fan, this kid looked very, very special last night. That is definitely a great sign. But before we get into the game recap, we will go over the news. A slow day in news until late in the night, and a lot of the news all revolving around Jimmy Butler. What is going to happen? Is he going to be traded? Is he going to stay? A simple trade request that was made in August has turned into a drama show as of late, and I apologize if you're tired of hearing about Jimmy Butler. We have talked about him for a few days in a row now, but everything should be coming to a resolution at some point, I would believe, probably this week, late this week, maybe early next week. I think we will have a resolution. So last night, it started to begin reporting by Adrian Wojnarowski that talks are continuing between the Miami Heat and the Minnesota Timberwolves. That is not new. That is not shocking. We know the Heat are the front runners to get Jimmy Butler if a trade does go down. In yesterday's podcast, we talked about how the Houston Rockets made an offer to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Minnesota Timberwolves then leaked out the offer, and they could have exaggerated it a little bit to get the Miami Heat to increase their offer. Well, it looks like the Miami Heat did increase the offer just slightly. We're hearing it's not a whole lot, but they did all increase it a little bit, and they were urging Minnesota to have a response last night. Well, it is Thursday morning. There is no trade, which means Minnesota didn't accept the offer or they didn't give them a response as of this morning. So now you're looking at the situation for Minnesota, trying to figure out exactly what they are doing, which spot they are in with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler says he will not miss any games if not traded. And you have to say, whoa, that now gives an out for Tom Thibodeau, who I keep repeatedly saying he does not want to trade away Jimmy Butler. Late in the GM, he does not want to trade away Jimmy Butler. If both of them had their way, Jimmy Butler will be back with the team today. They want Jimmy Butler, period. Now, the owner, Taylor of the Minnesota Timberwolves, of course, he wants Jimmy Butler to be gone. So now you have to start asking yourself, maybe the only way a deal could get done is if the owner of the Timberwolves personally calls up Pat Riley, and they get a trade done. Because right now, it looks like Thibodeau's still not trying to get anything done. He's not trying to make any type of progress. And he would like to have Jimmy Butler back in the locker room. Like I said, Butler said he hasn't made a final decision, but he'll join the team in practice, and he doesn't plan on missing any regular season games as long as his wrist is healthy, which all indications say he should be healthy, he should be good to go, and he should be there for their opening game. If they're unable to make a trade, Tibbs doesn't want to make this trade happen unless, of course, he gets a crazy good deal in return. And that is likely not going to happen for a player that is at the tail end of his prime years, a player that only has 1 year left on his deal. So theoretically, we don't know if he's going to sign with his new team or not. And that is going to be the risk that a team will definitely take making a move for Jimmy Butler. The Miami Heat, they should be a little bit more open to it because Jimmy Butler placed them on their list of teams. But even then, if you have Dwayne Wade retiring at the end of the year, you don't know exactly what Jimmy Butler plans on doing, even in Miami. You don't know if Miami will hold on to Hassan Whiteside, who's been playing well, but you don't know if they plan on keeping him, if they plan on trading him. And that is definitely going to be murky waters for Jimmy Butler because he doesn't know how that roster will look at the end of the season. Therefore, I don't see any way he could guarantee to the Miami Heat that he will stay more than just one season. So that is the talk going on right now. As of Thursday morning, no trade has been done. They did talk last night between the Heat and the Timberwolves. The Heat gave an offer, a revised offer, told the Timberwolves to hurry up and make a decision. But clearly nothing has been done as of this morning. So that's pretty much all the news. We're going to go ahead and jump into the game recaps. Like I said, we had a total of 5 games last night. The first of which, the New York Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets. First time we've seen Brooklyn in action. The second game for the New York Knicks. And the main standout was Alonzo Trier, the rookie, undrafted rookie from Arizona. He's on a deal with the New York Knicks, but it's just a two-way contract, which means he doesn't have a guaranteed spot on the final roster. But boy, did he show out last night. He played 26 minutes, had 25 points, was plus 12, finished 8 for 12 shooting. I believe at one point he was 5 for 6 shooting, 8 of 8 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, had an assist, had a block. This kid definitely looked great. He definitely put himself on the radar of a lot of other teams if he doesn't make the final roster for the New York Knicks. He's an ISO type of player, which kind of fit into what the Knicks were doing, because you only seen the Knicks in a few sets last night. That is something that could be concerning. Maybe they're just working on something specific, but a lot of isolation ball from the New York Knicks. Not a lot of ball movement whatsoever. Kevin Knox, the rookie out of Kentucky, who looked great in the first game, looked great in summer league, was pretty much a non-factor last night. Had 7 points, 3 of 6 shooting, did not make a 3 in 3 attempts, had 4 rebounds, but he played 22 minutes. And when you watch the game, he really didn't make his presence known at all. Trey Burke was there. He kind of struggled with a shot, but he had another decent game. And as Cantor, he was clearly one of the best players on the court for the New York Knicks last night. Had 22 points, had 20 rebounds, which was fantastic. So Enes Kanter played some solid minutes, looked very, very good. He did control a lot of that game, but I keep going back to Alonzo Trier, the rookie out of Arizona. This kid definitely held it down from the bench for the New York Knicks. And in a game that really wasn't that impressive, even though they did come out with the win 107 to 102, the Knicks did not look that good at all. So I'm still impressed by Trier. Kevin Knox, I think, will have his ups and downs. Yesterday was not a good game for him, and his Cantor looked very, very good. I'm still very high on Mitchell Robinson, the rookie, technically out of Western Kentucky, although he never played a college game. He transferred before the season began. Second-round pick. I like him mainly because of his size. He's very, very raw. Has not played in an entire year. Did not play college ball at all. So he's essentially making that jump from high school, a year out to train, and now he's in the NBA. Only had 2 points, but only played 10 minutes. Had a couple of nice blocks, a pair of blocks, actually. Had 2 rebounds. I think it's going to take some time for Mitchell Robinson. I don't think year one is going to be the year where he jumps into the map, onto the scene. But I do think over time, the Knicks have a good player in Mitchell Robinson. He just has to get his feet wet a little bit. Now, looking at the Brooklyn Nets, Caris LeVert, he looked very good, especially in the first quarter. In the first half, he looked good. D'Angelo Russell struggled with a shot, 4 for 12. But you know how good D'Angelo Russell is offensively. It's just the defensive side of the ball that you have to worry about. Still didn't look great defensively, but D'Angelo Russell, still clearly the offensive go-to player on the team. He struggled, but you know there's going to be games where D'Angelo Russell is absolutely going off, and he will look just fine. But other than that, just your usual prospects for the Knicks. Not for the Nets, excuse me. Looked similar to last year. Spencer Dinwiddie looked good in minutes played. He's going to have less time, of course, with D'Angelo Russell as your full-time starter once again. But Spencer Dinwiddie still looked good. 13 points, 6 assists in 19 minutes. You're not going to complain about that whatsoever. Looked very good. The Brooklyn Nets, still a team improving. Not that great, but they will make a splash in free agency in summer of 2019 when they have all that cap space available. Now going on to another game, somewhat of a homecoming game. Although it was just preseason, you had the Chicago Bulls taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. And that was a pretty decent game to watch. The reason why I said somewhat of a homecoming is you have Jabari Parker, who left Milwaukee. He's now in Chicago. He took on his former team back in Milwaukee, and he struggled to say the least. Played 19 minutes, finished 1 for 12 from the field. 0-3 from the three-point line. Finished with just 2 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. He was minus 26 on the night. So Jabari Parker, going back to Milwaukee, did not look good at all. But then again, the Chicago Bulls did not look good at all. They end up losing 116-82. And that's still a very deceiving 82 because the starters absolutely got destroyed by Milwaukee. It did not look pretty at all. Offense was extremely stagnant. Wasn't moving the ball much. Forcing up pretty bad shots. Chicago, they looked way better in the first game. Did not look good at all. And it was a game that gets you worried about, you know, the Chicago Bulls. You would expect them to take a small step forward from last year, especially with the additions of Jabari Parker. Of course, preseason, don't want to get too invested in it. You don't want to make irrational decisions and conclusions based off the preseason. But last night, the Bulls did not look good at all. The backups, you look at players coming off the bench, you had Bobby Portis. He had Wendell Carter Jr., the rookie. He had 9 points. He looked decent. But other than that, really nobody else showed out on that bench or the starting lineup. Of course, Lauri Markkanen, he's not playing. So he's going to be a huge addition when he does return to the lineup. But the Bulls really didn't look good. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis is back. Not only is he back, he looks even better than he did before. So we've seen Giannis for the first time, 22 minutes, 19 points. He hit a three, a pull-up three, which we are not used to seeing from Giannis. Took 2 threes total in the game, had 13 rebounds, 5 assists, and out of those assists, he had a couple of nice dimes in the game. Chris Middleton, he also looked good. Eric Bledsoe, he looked like regular season Eric Bledsoe. We know he disappeared in the playoffs, but Eric Bledsoe looked good as well. And I think for this Milwaukee Bucks team, the addition of Brook Lopez, one that a lot of people are going to sleep on, but I think Brook Lopez is also going to help out this team. He's a big, doesn't grab a lot of rebounds, but he's able to stretch out the floor. Yes, he missed all three of his three-point attempts last night, but we know Brook Lopez can shoot some. He can knock some of these down, and is going to open up the floor. And what that does for Giannis is it allows him free reign to work inside of the three-point line. So I think that's where the benefit is going to come because you can't leave Brook Lopez completely wide open. He will make you pay if you leave him completely wide open. So I think underrated signing was Brook Lopez. You could see it a little bit last night how he can improve his team. Of course, more of that's going to come as we progress through the season. But Milwaukee looked very good. Chicago Bulls, not so much. Going on to the third preseason game, we had the Detroit Pistons defeating the OKC Thunder 97-91. This is the first time that we've seen both teams here in preseason play. And Andre Drummond absolutely went off. He played basically full minutes. All his starters, except for Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson, of course, essentially played full minutes. Drummond played 34 minutes, 31 points, 16 rebounds. Andre Drummond looking just like Andre Drummond does. Very, very underappreciated player. Nobody really talked about him as much as he deserves to be talked about. But Andre Drummond looked very, very solid last night. Bullock, he looked pretty good. Stanley Johnson played 37 minutes. Still not a huge Stanley Johnson fan, but he didn't play bad. So you definitely give him a pass on that one. I think when Blake Griffin does play, I think things will be great. Looked like it was just a rest night. No injury there. Just did not play Blake Griffin. But I think he definitely adds extra firepower to that front court. The Pistons, I think, are going to be a very solid team this season. And they could even be a playoff team this year. I do like the Detroit Pistons. For OKC, really wasn't a great showing. No Paul George for personal reasons. No Russell Westbrook. So it was interesting to see how OKC will actually play because one of the biggest knocks on the Thunder last season was they had no depth coming off the bench. It was the starters, and that was basically it. So not having Westbrook, not having Paul George, interesting to see how some of these new players are going to step in. Now, Dennis Schroeder, we know him as a starter in Atlanta for a long time. He is now taking a reserve role behind Russell Westbrook. And he looked very, very good last night. You know, this is essentially an audition. I don't see him being in OKC very, very long. But in 27 minutes, had 21 points, had 9 assists on 5 for 16 shooting. 9 for 9 from the free throw line. Dennis Schroeder, he was controlling the pace. He looked like he had a nice grasp on the offense so far. Not a lot of sets from OKC still. But he looked very, very good. He looked very comfortable. And it looked like he had some nice rapport with Steven Adams, who also looked good, had 17 points, had 12 rebounds, but shot 8 from 15 from the field. He looked pretty good as well. Nerlens Noel, he struggled. It was interesting to see how he will play coming off the bench. He did struggle. And then Diallo, the rookie out of Kentucky, the guy who can't jump out of the gym, didn't have the best shooting game in the world. Had plenty of opportunity. Played 24 minutes. Only 1 for 5 from the field. But I think he is another guy who will slowly be able to adapt his game to the NBA style. And he could play pretty pivotal minutes late in the season. Just right now, he still looks like a baby out there on the court that he could try to improve. But for OKC, very, very impressed by Dennis Schroeder coming off of the bench. Now we have the Phoenix Suns and the New Zealand Breakers. Once again, that top competition in Phoenix, they looked okay. It's always hard to gauge the competition in these games because, quite frankly, I don't know a lot of the players from the New Zealand Breakers, and a lot of people don't. So it's hard to always judge exactly where Phoenix is or teams are when they play these teams. But you don't like to see a game this close. Of course, it wasn't as close as the final score indicated. The fourth quarter, when a lot of the people trying to make the team, a lot of the reserves, backups come into the game, that's when the Breakers really made their run and really made this game interesting. But from the very beginning, DeAndre Ayton, once again, this guy is proving why he was the first overall draft pick. 21 points, 15 rebounds. This kid is definitely special. Still some point guard problems a little bit for the Phoenix Suns. I don't think they have really addressed that yet. They had Shaquille Harrison as the point guard out of Tulsa last night, and he played the best that we've seen so far out of that position for Phoenix. Had 11 points, had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 blocks, which was definitely impressive. He looked as the best fit so far out of that point guard position. Acabo really didn't look that great last night. So it's going to be interesting to see if Phoenix still looks outside to try to trade to bring in a point guard, or if they're comfortable with Shaquille Harrison running the point. Of course, Devin Booker did not play. We don't expect him to be back for a few weeks, but DeAndre Ayton definitely holding it down. Trevor Ariza, he had a good game, the veteran presence. He could still ball. You still had Josh Jackson, who looks like he is improving almost on a daily basis. Ryan Anderson struggled, of course, but he's just there to space out the floor. You really don't expect too much out of Ryan Anderson. And then TJ Warren coming off the bench. That's the guy you want coming off the bench, providing you points. He did just that last night. Phoenix Suns, they look pretty decent. Of course, I don't think they are a playoff team, but we'll see when Devin Booker comes back. They could be that sneaky team. I think they're on that fringe. I think they're on the back end of the fringe, but they are there. And depending on how everything could work out, if they could answer the point guard position, if DeAndre Ayton keeps playing like he is a veteran in the league, which he has been playing like so far, the Phoenix Suns definitely have a nice foundation and they can make some noise. Now, going on to the final game of last night, you had the Los Angeles Clippers destroying the Minnesota Timberwolves 128-101. That was your final score. And the Clippers, they made a slight adjustment to the starting lineup. They inserted a guy who I'm very high on, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He was the two guard, the off guard for the Clippers with Patrick Beverley. And you could do that when you're playing the Timberwolves because they have the Derrick Rose, Jeff Teague starting lineup. So you match up just fine. Jeff Teague struggled again, 0 for 7 from the field, just 6 points, only 2 assists. Derrick Rose, he struggled a little bit, but out of those two guards, Derrick Rose, to me, is the better fit to be the starting point guard, especially if Jimmy Butler returns and now you go back to just your traditional guard. I think Derrick Rose should start over Jeff Teague. It may be an unpopular opinion. You look back to last season, Derrick Rose outplayed Jeff Teague. You go back to now, these first two games in the preseason, Derrick Rose has outplayed Jeff Teague. I just give the nod to Derrick Rose over Jeff Teague. Just by watching him this season, he looks like a better point guard. Karl Anthony Towns, he had a decent game, 18.7 rebounds. Wasn't really too impressed. The stat line looked better than he actually played out there. Andrew Wiggins, he looked decent as well, but nobody really looked great for Minnesota. Even when you look at the bench, Tyus Jones, he looked decent. He looked better than Jeff Teague did last night to me, but really nobody looked that great for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you don't know if Jimmy Butler really was the glue kind of holding things down last year. You do start to ask yourself that question, because for two games, yes, Derrick Rose went off the first game, but nobody else has really looked fantastic for the Timberwolves. Of course, still preseason, don't want to get carried away, but that is definitely my takeaway from watching them in two games now. For the Clippers, Gilgeous Alexander, somebody I am extremely, extremely high on. I called him the best point guard coming into the draft over Trae Young, over Colin Sexton, who I like. It will definitely go Gilgeous Alexander, Colin Sexton, a big gap, and then Trae Young. Not that high on Trae Young, but Gilgeous Alexander, you know, played at Kentucky as my alma mater. I watched just about every single Kentucky game that happens, because, of course, I love my alma mater, so I watched every single game. Gilgeous Alexander was probably our lowest rated recruit coming into the college season last year. Didn't get a lot of minutes. Big Blue Nation really wasn't cheering for Gilgeous Alexander, to be honest with you. It was the Kevin Knox show. We were super excited by Diallo, Kevin Knox. Those were the guys. But at the end of the year, who was carrying Kentucky? It was Gilgeous Alexander. This guy got better each and every game. You've seen the hard work that he was putting in. You've seen how he didn't take a lot of possessions off. And he has the size at 6'6 as a point guard. His shooting stroke got better as the year went on. Wasn't the best shooter coming in. Left as a pretty good shooter. Still not the greatest, but he shot 2 for 3 from the three-point line last night. He has that dog in him, has that ability to go after opponents. You definitely like that. And he had 12 points last night, had 5 assists in 24 minutes. I think this kid is going to be special. And I think at some point, he's going to earn a starting spot full-time for the Clippers. You don't know last night. They're just adjusting, kind of figuring out who should play where. But he looked very, very good last night. Tobias Harris, he's expected to have a big role on the team this year. He played as such. He played like he was willing to take over that spot. He played as if he is willing to be the go-to player. He had 23 points last night. Gallinari, good to see him back full-time. 22 points last night, 2 for 3. From the three-point line, he also looked good. Gortat, he's just there to grab rebounds. He did that at some point last night. Wasn't a great game for him, but he still did his job. But Marjanovic looked good. Big man, shot 7 for 7 from the free-throw line, had 15 total points, only 2 rebounds. But he looked very, very solid coming off of the bench as well. The Clippers, they're going to have a very solid team this year. I still see them missing the playoffs in that tough Western Conference, but they are going to be one of those teams that are right there, maybe finishing 9 or 10 in the Western Conference. But that was all of the games for last night. Once again, for Thursday, we have more preseason games, only 2. So not a lot of games tonight, but you do have both of them on NBA TV. So if you have that, you can go ahead and check both of those games out. The Indiana Pacers and the Houston Rockets, they play each other at 8, which is the Indiana Pacers' first preseason game. We see another game for Carmelo Anthony in this Houston Rockets team. Hopefully now they have a little bit more chemistry going, even though they did look good in game 1. And then the 10:30 game, the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Lakers. So another big-time game right there. We can see some of these young players from Sacramento, a lot of them, how they're going to step up. De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, Scala Bissier, even Buddy Hield, who's now, you know, going into the season, we expect him to take a huge step forward. How are they going to look against the Lakers and LeBron? And how is this whole defense for the Lakers going to kind of mature? I think that is the most important thing to watch from the Lakers this preseason, is how they communicate on the court, how well they switch on a lot of these ball screens, and that you know, continuity on the defense side of the end. So that is definitely the 10:30 game. That is everything that I have for today's show. Of course, we will be back tomorrow for all the recaps on these games going around the league and all the latest news and rumors going around the NBA as well. If you would like to stay connected throughout your day, you could go ahead and follow me on Twitter at DLloydTV. That is DLLOYDTV. And also, if you want to stay up to date with a lot of the breaking news and breaking coverage around the NBA, you can check out my YouTube channel as well at DLloydNBA. I look forward to talking to you guys tomorrow. Peace.